Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey, Dark Arts.
Welcome back to yet another week.
What's up?
My kids are both in school now, so that's exciting. So yeah. Now it's just the dogs I have to worry about while I'm recording.
Yes.
And my main child today. But, you know, aka husband coming in and out of the house. But
That counts as a child some days.
You know. So we hope y'all are enjoying, you know, your week and stuff like that. Lots of good times. FYI, for those of you who were concerned, Dr. John's is still open in Omaha.
Oh, yeah. Those of you who did not listen last week or wondering why we're talking about Dr. John's.
Listen to last week's episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of last week's episode, I did not put this connection together. So my sister messages me. Because she was listening to our episode on Saturday, and she was like, apparently haunted houses are really bad for people named Jesse. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, your first house you talked about, the guy was Jesse Sykes, and he was eaten by hogs. He's like, and then she's like, your second house had the wife whose name was Jesse, and she died of double pneumonia. I was like, oh my God, how did I not connect that there were Jesse's?
That's probably why. I do remember now the mention of it a couple times, and I was like, did she say that? Like, I think I was thinking, like, maybe you just mixed the name up or something. But no,
it was totally,
right. Okay.
There were totally two different Jessies. There was the male Jesse, who may or may not have been a pedophile, who was eaten by his hogs and is haunting the house now. And then there was wife Jesse of said Dr. John, who died of double pneumonia, and people, you know, claim to in her room not be able to breathe or feel like someone's sitting on her chest.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, okay, I don't know how that didn't...
If you have the name Jesse, super sorry. And
just, you know, be careful.
Watch out for haunted houses. You know?
Maybe don't live in houses built in the 1890s. Because both
fair.
Of those houses were built, like, 1890. So, you know, maybe maybe it's not so much that. It's just houses built in 1890.
Correct. Just live in a newer house.
Yeah. 18 or 1900, you know, 1900 and newer. Okay. Okay. Our Jesse listeners.
Yeah. Sorry guys. Just keep that in mind. Also keep that in mind when naming your child, but you know, okay. Sorry. My dog's already starting in here. I'm like, really? If you hear some click clacking, it's just my dog walking around.
I mean, it's fine.
She's ready for some true crime.
Shannon, you have the story this week. Where are we at this week?
We're in good old Nebraska, so
Okay. It's
been a minute since we've jumped back to Nebraska, and so it's kind of crazy how many things have actually happened in Nebraska. Like, there's a lot of very horrible things that, I mean, have happened everywhere, but, like, in Nebraska, it was really hard for me to pick what I wanted to talk about because there's, sadly, a lot. And so this one is actually going to be an unsolved one, and I had a few people bring it up to me, and I already knew about it. And so I thought, okay, and it kept coming back to me over and over. And I was like, I feel like I really just need to do this story. So I know I've done one in my hometown. Our very first episode, for those of you who may have not caught that, we were in Scotts Bluff. I'm actually from Gearing, but they are closely connected. So this case is actually going to primarily take place in Gearing, Nebraska. And we're going back to just like 2019. So it's pretty recent, I would say. And it is unsolved. And that is why I think it's just always bothered me because I don't know. It was funny because one of my friends was like, I have to tell you about this case. And she started telling me, and I was like, I know, that's like my hometown. She was like, seriously? And I said, yeah. So I think it might be more well known than we realize, but I also think because a few years have gone by, it's easy to not forget necessarily, but kind of just move on to the next big case that's going on.
Especially if it happened in 2019, then you had the pandemic and everything going on there. So a lot of stuff, it's easy to lose it.
Totally.
In the stuff that came afterwards. I feel kind of bad though, because I picked my case for next week already and it's also an unsolved.
That's all right.
So,
I don't think there's anything wrong with those. Sometimes it's nice just to like bring it back to the forefront for people who are, unfamiliar with it or maybe just have forgotten, because to the people who don't ever know, you know, the person or people whoever involved, it's easy to forget. But when you're someone who it's your family, that's something you live with every single day. So I think, and this one is just, I want to be, it's very sensitive because of it being in my hometown. I do not know the people involved directly. But knowing the community and other people that do know them, I just, you know, I really want to keep it, just on a serious note, I guess you could say, because I know there's a lot of people hurting in this situation. I did have a chance briefly to talk to, someone involved in the case directly. And so that kind of opens your eyes a little bit too when you talk to a family member. So today we are going to talk about Chance Engelbert. And this, like I said, is going to be happening in Gearing. But he was actually from Wyoming, which I know is not part of the heartland, but that's okay because we're not going to really be in Wyoming other than him being from there. So,
yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, and like I said, I've been wanting to do this. I actually even had a dream about this, like recently, this case. And so I was like, okay, we're going to talk about this. So Gearing, Nebraska, just a quick recap for those of you who do not know where it is or did not listen to the first episode. It's in the very corner of the state. You know, the panhandle, as they like to say. So you can, it's like 3 hours to Denver from there. You can get into Wyoming within 20 minutes. I mean, it's very close, kind of on the edge there. So
like on the border of Nebraska between some, yeah, like closest pretty much states.
Yeah. So as of 2020, the population there, it said, is 8,200, just so you kind of have an idea. It's a smaller area. So this is, yeah, a very eerie case. So Chance Engelbert was a native of Edgemont, South Dakota. He competed in rodeo competitions in high school, and then he attended Laramie Community College in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He studied welding and diesel mechanics there. He's described as being a good kid, very shy, but hardworking, super smart. He, prior to this case, he had recently had a baby with his wife, Bailey. He had a little boy, and they named him Banks, which, by the way, I love that name. I don't know. Cute. I think that's adorable. Yeah. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, that's Banks. A cute name.
I love that. He loved his family and he was a great father. He was super excited to share his passion for the demolition derby with his son. So I think that's cute, you know, and he was just, I don't know exactly how old the baby was, but I know he was little because I've seen pictures and he was just a little guy. So back in July of 2019, him and his wife actually traveled to Gearing to visit his wife's grandparents because they lived there. So they had been there for a few days celebrating the 4th of July with them. So on July 6th, he actually went golfing with his family or his in-laws, I guess. And that's kind of where things started to go awry. He was out there. Bailey, his wife, was not with him. So he calls his wife while they're golfing and he asks her to come pick him up. He's extremely upset at this point, and he just said that one of her family members was making comments about his new job. He had just got a new job. They lived in, I think it was Moorcroft, Wyoming. The family members were making comments about how he was going to be making less money, just stuff that I feel like that no man in general wants that. Like, nobody wants to hear that, but like
nobody
a man takes
that
very personal.
General.
Like, yeah, like,
well, are they implying like he's not going to be able to provide for his family?
I have no clue what they mean
and
by that.
If he's like a diesel mechanic or a welder, those are both trade jobs that pay decently.
Correct. I don't know exactly what he did or what was he was going to be doing at the new job, but he was pissed. And honestly, I'm sure they've all had a few beers too at this point, because I had read a little that they had been drinking. Not, I mean, you know, it's the middle of the day,
I mean, that,
whatever, you're
that
out
seems
golfing.
To be what people do when they golf.
Yeah.
Like, I don't golf, but that seems to be
right.
The
so
main
sometimes
thing.
Like you just get more, I don't know, irritated when you're drinking anyway, and something like that can just hit you wrong. And I don't know how he got along, like what their relationship was like prior to this or not, but nonetheless, he's super pissed. So his wife says, okay, I'll come get you. So she picks him up and he just keeps saying he wants to go back to Wyoming, and she takes him back to her grandparents' house instead, which obviously that's not like she's just going to take him back. You know, that's at least a half hour drive to where they lived. So he's super pissed. They get back. He doesn't want to be back there. So this is around 7:30 p.m. That evening. Okay. So they're arguing. He wants to go home. She doesn't. Due to the argument, he gets out of the car and just starts walking away. Bailey said that she wasn't worried about him walking away because he often will take a walk to just cool down when he's upset. So, I mean, I think a lot of people do that. So this wasn't out of the norm. I mean, given he's not from there, he doesn't really know the area probably, but it's small enough that she wasn't worried.
Depending on how long they've been together, he's probably been there at least a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And so he leaves to go on a little walk. So this time was a little different because he never comes back. So 7:45, as he's walking, Chance calls his buddy Matt Miller and asks him to pick him up. So Matt's like his best friend. I guess he was his best man. All the things, they're tight. And Chance says he needs a ride home and he was just going to start walking. So his plan all along was to walk from Gearing to Torrington, Wyoming. So that's like 35 miles away. So 30 to 45 minutes ish of a drive. Right. So, I mean, you're not going to make that walk in a night. And
I was about to Google map. Okay. So it's Torrington.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, naturally his friends that are in Wyoming, it's not like they can just drop everything and come pick him up because it's not down the street. Right. So Matt, you know, tells him, hey, I can't pick you up, but I'll try calling around to find some other people that may be able to come get you.
You could walk it in.
How long does it say?
It says 11 hours and 12 minutes.
That's actually not as bad as I thought. Like, that's super long. No, thank you.
I mean, it's a long time to walk.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. If you're walking overnight, I mean, it's not going to be maybe, as hot.
But it's a lot it's dangerous though too, because I think about roads aren't like well lit and just
I don't recommend that at all. But right. I'm saying, I mean, like it's if possible. He really wanted to, it's doable. But does this man have water with him even? Because
I'm gonna say no. Because he just left in a kind of an angry moment. And so no, I mean, thankfully he does have his cell phone at this point. So yeah, I mean, okay, so nobody can come give him a ride. So Matt is looking for someone to come pick him up because he is that far away. So then about, let's see, it's 7:49 PM was the last physical confirmed sighting of Chance. A witness sees him around that time walking past a Domino's on 10th Street in Gearing. The witness said that he was walking north towards Scott's Bluff. So that would be the correct way you would be going to get back to Wyoming. You'd have to northwest at some point. So that is where he is seen. And then at 7:51, he's seen on surveillance, a video walking past a business. So that's the last like physical sightings of him. So at 8:46, this is the last time anyone actually hears from him. After this, his phone, it's assumed that his phone died or is turned off. So, okay, it's only been about an hour and a half since he left his house, or not his house, but the grandparents' house. So he's walking, and unfortunately, a like giant thunderstorm rolls in, and this is at 9 p.m. So Bailey and her family, they assume that he would have gone and taken shelter somewhere inside a building nearby, because if he's walking, he probably hasn't gotten far enough where he's away from any kind of building. Right. So her grandpa actually leaves and drives around and looks for him, and they don't see him. So there was a little confusion on the timeline here too, because I know I said that the last time they had heard from him, which I guess they said was 8:45, but it did say at 9:08. So I'm not sure. There's obviously a little bit crossover there, but it said that his final text message that came through, it went to his aunt's phone. And it was just a series of numbers and emojis, his text. And his mom said that he rarely texted like with emojis, which most guys don't really, like, let's be honest. And they think that the text may have been from someone else. My thought was like, was it like a butt dial situation, butt text?
Right. Like the screen came on and then a bunch of things pushed, which I did also then Google map the walking distance between Gearing and Scott's Bluff. And he could have totally made it to Scott's Bluff walking in an hour.
Yeah. Cause that's like not far. It's pretty much connected. There's like a bridge going over there and that's so doable. So, yeah, the area too, that Domino's that they mention is like right kind of on between Gearing and Scott's Bluff. So that makes sense that he was at least at that point too. But as far as the phone situation, I don't know if he would text his aunt often or not. And so that's what makes me think maybe it got bumped or it was being pushed when it was in his pocket or whatnot. So,
right. Cause I've noticed sometimes like maybe I put my phone in my pocket or something and I didn't lock the screen like I thought I did. And then things are open that I didn't open myself, but because of being in my pocket and getting bumped.
Just not locking the screen. So or I don't know.
Trying to like text discreetly too, you know?
Yeah. Like, was that some kind of call for help? I don't know. It's very bizarre. But then, so like later that night, I'm not sure. I think they said it was between like 9 and 10 PM was the last time that they can ping his phone. So it pings from a cell phone tower that's near the Riverview Golf Course in Scott's Bluff. And the tower shows that his phone was pinging about 2 to 3 miles south or southeast of the tower, which would be kind of that same direction that he would have been going. So who knows? Because once your phone is dead, broken, whatever, it's not going to ping. So, I mean, they know he was at least in that vicinity, or his phone at least was. So then they do see, though, later after they get more surveillance, they see that he was on some other surveillance videos walking past an apartment complex in Tarrytown. So Tarrytown, it's like, I don't even know. Clearly it's named town, Tarrytown. That doesn't, I don't think it, I mean, it's not a town really. It's a small little area in between Gearing and Scott's Bluff.
Oh no, I see it right there.
Yeah. Oh, So yeah, I mean, I don't really know that I ever have had a reason to go there. I don't know anyone that's lived in that area, but it's like, just if you're walking from Gearing to Scott's Bluff, it's easy to go through that area.
Oh yeah. That's so, exactly the route. If on the Google Maps here, it shows me you would go directly through Tarrytown if you were walking from Gearing to Scott's Bluff.
Yeah, totally.
And it's,
I can like picture it. Exactly.
Like all of Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So they say that they are able to later see him on surveillance there, but that's the last time that on video that they see him. So this is near the intersection of Terry Boulevard and Stable Club Road in Tarrytown. So that is that night. They don't hear from him. They don't see him. So now the next day, it's July 7th, and a search begins. So over 150 people participate in ground searches in that area that he was last seen. Over 2,400 acres of land were searched. 18 different agencies have been or were involved in the search, including cadaver dogs, search helicopters, AirLink, and Nebraska State Police helicopters covered a combined 380 miles of air searches. Canines were used to search around 10 different lakes and ponds and the river. And then the central Gearing Canal was even drained so they could search more. Nothing was found. July 8th, authorities began searching the North Platte River along with railroad property in the area where he was last seen. July 9th, the search continues and law enforcement asks that all public and business that have any surveillance to turn that over anywhere from the time frame of 7:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. that night of July 6th. So then by July 10th, his family, including his wife, they make a plea to the public for anyone to come forward with any information they may have. And then by July 11th, multiple sightings of Chance were reported in the Casper, Wyoming area. So this is the week after his disappearance. People said that they saw someone resembling Chance walking and trying to hitchhike along I-25 in Casper. So law enforcement shows up there. They search all around there and they are unable to locate any hitchhikers. So we're going kind of just in the timeline here because it kind of just plays out to where we're at and all the things that were done. So July 12th, they release another picture of Chance from the day that he had disappeared. You're able to see him. He was at the golf course, but he was wearing a short sleeve, like Wrangler shirt, Wrangler jeans, Roper boots, and a black and white trucker hat. He was like a cowboy, you know, like that was totally the vibe I got from all the pictures. He just, I think that was his thing. So, then on July 12th, that same day, later that night, a person actually sent in a tip from Casper, Wyoming, saying that she thought she saw him at Walmart there. So the police visit Walmart and they reviewed over 6 hours of surveillance and were unable to confirm whether there was any sighting and anything was credible.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is when they start to offer a reward, for any information leading to him, anything that would know, you know, anyone who knows anything about him. So the reward is for $10,000. So nothing comes from it, whether there's tips that come in and out during that time. Then 1 year later, so then we're at July 6th, 2020. And still no sign of him. And they hold a walk and like a prayer vigil for him around the area. They walked around the area that they know he at least was last seen.
And that's so difficult because that's too, when we've just come out of shutdown, you know, things are just slowly starting to open back up.
Yeah. So weird. And I feel like that makes it more difficult too for people in the search process. Yeah. Because of being quarantined and not being able to be places and see things and businesses closed. I feel like that is just the worst possible timing. Not that there's ever good timing for something like this, but
no, but I mean, so much again was going on at that time. You know, we went into lockdown. I know for us, we closed, you know, where I work, we closed in March. Yeah. Some people were able to come back in June.
Yeah.
But a lot of it wasn't until like late June, early July that we were even able to come fully back staffed. Right. And you have so much time then of people not being out and about. So people not seeing or, you know, it's just, that's so difficult.
I know. I feel for them. I feel like a year, I mean, a day is too long to not know where someone is. So, you know, that was in 2020 and like nothing really new is released that whole next year, just no sign of him. And I just think, you know, he has this baby boy now who's growing up and he's not there. And so on October 18th of 2021, I want to say that's fairly recent, but that has almost been a year now already as well. A hunter finds partial human remains on a property in Scotts Bluff near the North Platte River. It was confirmed that it was a human arm bone. And they also had collected a piece of clothing from the area like nearby. It's sent into the lab. Initially the testing was unsuccessful, but now it's been sent to another lab and still pending results. However, they feel strongly that it is unlikely it belongs to him based on apparently, which I'll talk about this more later. There's other men that have been missing in that area. And one of them specifically went missing in that area where the arm bone was found and the clothing found would matches that man's clothing.
Gotcha.
So, but I mean, I feel like until you actually have that solid confirmation, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything either, because I've been seeing like, well, I saw something on the news and then I just watched this documentary the other day about like a human foot being found in a shoe. I don't know if you saw anything like that, but like the person was still alive. It doesn't mean.
Yeah, but there is like this place, I don't remember, somewhere on the East Coast or Michigan Lake, or I don't remember, I'd have to look it up, where human feet are washing up in tennis shoes.
Yes, that was on the news last week.
Well, but it happens like so frequently, like it's happening a ton and people don't, and so like people don't know. I think it's somewhere on the East Coast. So I don't know if like some people think maybe it's like a mob thing, you know, they're dumping these bodies and then shoes with just human feet are in it. And I don't think they found like a set. It's always just like a random foot. Like it's not a pair of feet. It's, and this has been going on for a long time in this area.
That's crazy. I didn't hear that. I just watched a documentary. I don't know if you're familiar. I think it's, her name is Melissa something. It's going to drop. Now I can't think of it, but it's on Hulu, but it's about, she was a, this is fairly recent in the news. She was in Australia and she basically embezzled a ton of money from all of these clients. And then she just vanished into thin air and they found her foot months later in a shoe. But the whole thing is like, they still don't know. Like there's theories that she cut her own foot off.
Her foot off to make, you know, it look like she was dead. Yeah.
So like, I mean, even if it was his arm, does that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean he's dead. You know, I mean, I guess you just have to be open to all the different possibilities, especially with no evidence to go off of. It's kind of easy to speculate and want to think certain things, but I mean, right. Like they said, they're pretty certain that that's not him. So they're, you know, they're saying as of now that there's no current person of interest, but law enforcement continues to receive tips and they look into all of them. They have no evidence to indicate foul play in this case, but they also have no reason to rule it out. Of course, there's several theories to what happened. One theory is that his disappearance could have been like in a robbery gone wrong because he was an easy target. He's walking.
He's walking. It's late. It's storming.
Yeah. It's yeah. There's that. Another theory was that he could have wandered into or fell into the river like during the storm and, you know, heavy currents with a river, I mean, could take him wherever. But his family and his friends just are adamant that they don't think that that happened because they said his friend Matt specifically said that Chance was born and raised for that kind of weather. So, I mean, it's not like he's just a city boy who doesn't know anything about the outdoors.
But right. If he was ill prepared and he hadn't, I mean, listen, let's face it. Most of the time, those types of men have a pocket, or at least a pocket knife them.
Totally.
So he's got, and it's not like there wasn't places for him to stop along the way to get food and drink.
Yeah. No. And so, one of the last places they see him was actually like a big gas station. Mm-hmm. So, right. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming he would have a wallet with him with money in there. But
the thing is, which people don't seem to realize or think, because I got into a debate with a friend once about this because I saw a few months ago, and by a few months ago, I mean, it was like right before we started our podcast. So back in like March.
So like a year. No, not really. That's me too. I have no grasp of time.
Nope. But I saw a mountain lion on the side of the road. It was roadkill.
Oh.
And people don't realize that we have mountain lions in Nebraska. Oh, we get them absolutely. In Omaha. And stuff, but especially those more rural areas, you're gonna have that. And who knows, if it was storming and stuff, you might not hear them stop because they are good hunters. And if he got too close to maybe a mom and her cubs,
yeah,
that's the thing. I'm sorry, you can be born and raised for that, but a mama mountain lion is gonna take you down.
Right.
Like a pocket knife isn't gonna help you.
Further south of that area, there's bobcats and all the things like, and I mean, there's been sightings obviously around that area. I remember years back, someone saw one in their backyard, like in the middle of town. Yeah. And so there's that. I don't know about the area that he's at, but it is, I mean, you're heading towards that area.
Nothing out there is very city.
So
no. And then like, if he made it past Scott's Bluff area going towards the Wyoming border, I mean, it's gonna be just
absolutely
open plains and stuff. And so we don't know. I mean, there's a very high possibility that it wasn't foul play, but an animal he got too close to, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely a possibility. I feel like you have to think about all the different things here because I mean, you know, and I didn't really want to get into this because I don't want to, you know, like I said, ruffle feathers necessarily, but there's been suggestions from people that the argument that he had with his wife's family had something to do with it. His wife did ask for a death certificate very early on in the investigation. This, though, was a red flag, but her whole reason behind that was she had to provide for their son. And I mean, she wasn't working. Chance was the sole breadwinner in their home. And they had discussed that if he was to get on Chance's Social Security, they would have to have a death certificate in order to do that. She never did get one, but after 7 years of someone missing, you can get one.
I was going to say, see, and that's something, so like, yeah, that's a red flag depending on how close it was. But I can also see where she's coming from, because I do know, at least, I think it's everywhere, but at least in the state of Nebraska, if your child is still a minor and a parent passes, they get a monthly thing from like Social Security or something to until they're 18 or 19 to help provide for them. And so I could see if she was a stay-at-home mom doing that. I don't, like you said, I mean, that's kind of a difficult situation, because on the one hand, you're like, okay, but on the other hand, you have your family to help you, right? Like get a part-time job or something.
Yeah. And that's where I was very clear when I, you know, spoke with the family too, that like, I'm not going to go into that side of things, based off all the things I've seen on social media and whatnot. There is a lot of, thoughts and feelings towards the wife, and
there always is though. I mean,
and there's going to be until there's some kind of answer, whether it's good or bad.
Anytime something like this happens, if someone's murdered and they don't know who did it, the spouse is always the first person people look at or they blame. And the thing is too, is like people grieve differently, how they handle things differently. So maybe she wasn't able to bring herself to think about the fact of trying to find a job or trying to figure things out. And so she was like, if I have this death certificate, I can take care of my child and I can still grieve and worry and stress. And
you're a good person, Cassie, because like for me, see, it's nice to have like a non-biased view of this, because even though I don't know these people personally, everything I've seen on there makes me very angry towards her specifically. And I literally have no reason to feel that way. So I apologize, but I just think there's so many things that seem off, but until you're in that position, I guess it's easy to place judgment on someone. And that's not
so like, I vaguely remember this case. I kind of remember, like, I haven't looked into it a ton. I haven't followed it a ton. I do remember there being some stuff, but I don't remember fully. I'm just trying to, you know, keep it a little.
Yeah, no, and that's good. And you have to play, you know, devil's advocate, you know, someone needs to do that. But
in those situations, I mean, it is, listen, there's, the spouse is always going to be suspect until you know for sure.
Well, and it's ironic that this all happened. He left due to an argument with her family. So I think that that's like always a good starting point too, whether it has anything to do with it or not. But, you know, the police, everything I read did say that her family and her, they were very cooperative and cordial with the police. They said that they interviewed her at length. And I mean, there was nothing there. And it is sad because her family has received death threats now over the years because of all of this. And it's really, the disappearance has divided her family with Chance's family and friends. Obviously they all know more because they're involved in that directly, but it's just a sad situation overall, you know, and especially because there is a grandchild involved.
And so, like if Chance's family is seeing him, are they then saying they're not? See, and then that's a difficult situation too, because then he's missing out on a whole side of his family. He's missing out on knowing things about his dad that only his grandparents would really be able to share with him. And like, so not only do you have Chance as a probable, like, let's be honest, he's probably a victim. He's probably not still alive, unfortunately. I can't imagine, I mean, just on the little bit you've shared, that he would abandon his child like that.
I know. I think someone knows something, but go ahead. Or like I said,
it was a freak accident, but the sad thing is now you have Chance as a victim, but you have his son as a victim too, and missing out on this whole part of his life and his background and knowing about his dad and having that side of the family and having that side of the family for support. Absolutely. And it's really sad that they can't, I mean, again,
not only are they missing their son, but now they're missing out on their grandson. And I think that's like, just, oh, I cannot imagine every day, like not knowing where your son is and knowing that his son is not involved in your life.
Yeah.
I just think that's terrible. And I mean, you know, law enforcement, like they did several searches of all the places. They did different polygraph tests. They chased down any leads that they thought they had. The FBI even helped out with portions of the investigation. So as of now, too, there's actually an $18,000 reward that's being offered for information leading to the discovery of him or the identity of someone responsible. Of course, we're going to link all of the numbers that you can contact people by. I will say them here too. I mean, we're going to keep talking about it a little more, but that's kind of where I was at in my research. So if you have any info, regardless, you know, you can contact the Gearing Police Department at 308-436-5088. Or there is a private investigator, Amanda Waldron, and her number is 307-797. I apologize, let me do that again. 307-797-0363. If you want to remain anonymous, tips can always be reported to the We Help the Missing. Their tip line is 866-660-4025. That's a lot of numbers there, guys. Numbers are hard for me sometimes. but we will link all of that. Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there in case it's hot on your mind now. But something else that was very interesting too, when I was looking up this case, was they had compiled a list of missing men in Nebraska from 2019 to 2020. And there are over 25 men on that list. Most of them are from around the Omaha area, but there were a handful of men that have disappeared in the same region as Chance during that same time frame. So the lack of information on these men is incredible. There's really nothing. It makes you wonder, is there some kind of connection between those ones there?
Right.
And I think once again, too, like it's, you always hear about women that are missing, specifically white women, but you don't really ever hear about men missing. Like, why is that? You know?
Right.
And I think that that's very odd. I mean, I could have went in and talked about some of those other cases as well, but even the information that I saw on those, like, it sounds like it's kind of the same situation as Chance, where they have nothing. They just are gone. So
it kind of makes you bizarre. Wonder if there's like a serial killer near the Gearing Scotts Bluff area.
That's exactly what I was talking about. So I think, yeah, I was talking about that. I'll just, Chance's mom, she, you know, said that they think, you know, that maybe this was an accident originally and then something happened. But now that 3 years have gone by, whether it was an accident or not and someone was involved, like, you need to give this family some kind of closure regardless. Yeah. Of, you know, I don't think he ran off. I don't know who necessarily could pull off something like this without leaving any trace behind. I mean, it's very rare that someone can get away with something, but then, you know, once again, it could be a total like freak thing. Hard to say.
It is. See, and that's just it. Because the thing is if he's walking along the side of the road, even if he were to have gotten hit and it was like a hit and run because it was late and it was rainy and stuff, the person either could have just thought maybe he was a deer or something and didn't stop, you know, but he would have been on the side of the road then.
And there would be some sort of, yeah, like the fact that no clothes, he had a hat on. I don't know. It is honestly so eerie to me that someone can just disappear into thin air with no trace.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it has to either be like a bobcat, mountain lion or something got him, or it has to be foul play. It's like one of those two. Like, it doesn't seem like it could be.
I know.
He just got lost and wandered, you know. It's not like it's a super something would have been forested area.
Right?
Yeah. But if you have a wild animal, mm-hmm. Well, one, if someone took him and dumped him, they could have dumped him anywhere, you know.
Yeah, very true.
But if it was a wild animal, they could then take him further and unfortunately consume part of his remains. But then you're going to have other animals coming and scavenging. And then
you still think he would find some sort of anything, of clothing. I mean, maybe not, but like you would think that there would be something somewhere.
Which is what kind of leads me more so to believing that someone, like maybe he did hitchhike and the wrong person picked him up.
and they took him clear to California. I mean, you know what I mean? Somewhere or far Canada, enough away that nobody like would even know. Like,
yeah.
Somewhere very far away. And I would be interested in knowing, I'm sure they, I could have probably found this information somewhere, but as far as like the dog searching, if they picked up his scent, where was the last spot they, like, where do they lose sight?
Right.
You know?
But if there was a huge storm, would that have washed his scent away too?
Gosh, that is true too. And it's just, it's sad. They do have a billboard there. Well, I was just back visiting family this summer and I saw it again and it just gives me goosebumps when I see that, because it's so hard to believe that something like that can happen in your hometown. Like it happens everywhere, but you don't think about it until it affects you almost directly, because then it's like, well, is there someone walking out there that did do something and they're still just out there and my family is out there and this and that. And, you know, it's easy to take your mind to all those places. And it sounds like, unfortunately, the law enforcement there isn't necessarily being the kindest or the most helpful any longer. I think they were at one point, but I think now, I don't know if it's just because they don't know what to do next or what.
I mean, that small like, town police force has never really got the best of raps.
Yeah, so, very true.
There's and a I reason think for that, that.
Yeah. I feel like it's easy like for them to forget and move on to the next thing. But it's like, okay, there's a family that is not going to give up. You know, I think as a parent, if my kid was out there missing, I would never, I mean, I, when do you finally just stop? Like you don't.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate when people don't support you and help you in the ways that you need. And I think if Bailey's family really has nothing to do with this, then why aren't they like forthcoming with that? And I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, why would you want to create a barrier with his family?
Yeah.
Too. I mean, that was still part, he was part of their family too. So it's like, I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. And I think, I don't want to say that people have forgotten, but it has been 3 years. And so I think it's easier. So it's like, I really wanted to talk about it because I think they'll take any help they can get right now because they're not getting a ton of support from the people that should be helping them. There is a page on Facebook too, that people can follow to kind of see updates, and they do post things on there. The Facebook page is called Help Find Chance Engelbert. And there are several other things that you can do. They do raise money through, they sell like t-shirts and hats and stuff that say like, bring Chance home. And they use that money that they make from that to pay for the billboard to keep that up. Mm. And it's just, you know, a picture of him and says, have you seen me? It's very simple. Has all the same information. So, I'm going to have that in the show notes as well. And you can do stuff through there. They actually have a scholarship too, that they started in his name for high schoolers in Edgemont, which is where he was from. Okay. Originally. So that's what, I know they have that. And then as well, there's tons of different things that you can do other than, you know, by supporting them, by buying those things. Oh, and they also have decals, I guess I should have said that, and yard signs and stuff. Cause there's a lot of trailers there, like horse trailers. People will put this big decal on there. So, and a lot, the hashtag they use is Bring Chance Home. So you can always find things that way about it. Also, they have been trying to get this on Dateline. And if you go to Dateline, like, well, the webpage for them, which is nbcnews.com, there's an option on there to share a story with Dateline. And they have really pushed that on the page. If people go in and do that more, they'll get more national attention on this. And so there's an option for that. I know there's also a petition for the FBI to get involved and help out more on this. And you can sign the petition for that at change.org. And it's FBI needed for Chance Engelbert disappearance. So those are all the different things I could find as far as supporting this, being connected, seeing anything new. I'm not sure who all runs the page. I know his family is on there and his friend Matt posts a lot on there and he seems like a really good person and anything he posts is usually very encouraging. And so, I think that it's just another like warning and, I don't know, heads up to think, like, when you see things that aren't right, something's probably not right, you know? And so, right.
Well, and just, you know, just even if, you know, people are kind of contacting the Gearing Police Department being like, hey, what are you doing about this? What's going on with this? So it's not just the family.
Oh yeah.
Asking about it, you know, letting this case go cold. I mean, that's heartbreaking. I can't imagine how difficult that is for the family, especially because now they don't even have the comfort of their grandchild, who's a little piece of him, you know? That's so difficult. And I mean, that's one thing that's rough. Like, I don't know, like the thing is too, is like, who knows what then his mom and her family are saying about his dad's side of the family. I know. So that way, even when he's like 18 and can make for his own decisions, like, is he going to try to reach out? Will he want anything? And like, that's just, it's so heartbreaking, you know?
It really, the whole thing all around is just, it's awful. It's so sad. And I just cannot imagine not knowing where your child is or not even getting that closure. I mean, I think, you know, you want to still, until you have physical proof, you want to always believe that your child or that he's alive out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, every day has to be harder and harder not having any sort of closure and just not knowing. The unknown is, I think, worse. And I mean, his family really truly believes it was not an accident. So his mom even said they don't want to point fingers and start problems with the police or anyone for that matter. They just want their son found and they want justice served.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so I think, you know, people too, it's like the more time that goes by, if someone did know something, now they're probably more scared to come forward because it has been so long and it makes them look guilty or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. But it's like that reward money is a lot of money, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I mean, you would think if someone did know something, that would be enough to talk. Unless, but
I mean, sometimes fear is outweighs it. And if they know who did something, you know what I mean? And I don't know, it does seem, I don't know, to me, if her family was giving him shit and stuff about his potential job or the job he was about to have, this can't have been the first time. You know what I mean? Like,
right. It sounds like he was irritated with him. Like, F
and
this.
It sounds like this is something that they probably nitpicked him a lot. Mm-hmm. And because this happening one time, maybe one time with alcohol involved, you get pissy enough to be like, oh, I'm going to walk home. But in the hour and a half, he would have sobered up enough, I think, to be like, okay, yeah. I overreacted this. So to me, that feels like that's not the first time her family has, and I bet you that was an ongoing thing between the two of them, was being like, your family cannot talk to me like that. I'm like, oh, they're just teasing. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, it's not okay. That's not teasing. That's not okay.
And then he's like, take me back to Wyoming. And then she goes back to the grandparents' house. Of course, that's going to piss you off. Like, he couldn't have expected her just up and leave. I don't know if they had their kid with them at the time, if he was in the car or what, but like, I mean, I think walking away from an argument is wise. If you're really pissed off, walking away is the best way to go cool down anyway. But when it's a town to like, it's not like Gearing is huge by any means, but like, I think it's, you could still get turned around in a small town, but at the same time in 2019 too, your phone was capable of giving, like directions. It's not like this is back in the time before that. So, and he was walking in the right direction. So it's like, what happened?
Yeah. And I don't know. It's one of those things, especially if it's not like, if it's not an hour to drive away, like be like, hey, let me get back here. Let's get some things situated. And then I will take you back home and I can come back. Cause come on, it's an hour round trip for you. Like if you aren't ready to leave, like,
They had been there already, like,
for the 4th.
So,
like,
His mom said they'd been there for about 4 days already when this happened. So they came down for the 4th. And at this point, too, it's like, okay, too much togetherness. I'm ready to go.
Especially if her family already is kind of like dogs on him more than they should. Right. Quote unquote joking. But yeah, you know, it's that passive aggressive shit.
Right. And like, were they making comments prior to this, too? I mean, same trip about the job. And it was like the never ending thing. Like, you're just going to lose your shit on him, you know?
Right. So, like, it's been several days. Let your husband go home. Like, if it's not that far, I'm sure you can work out with your family. Like, hey, can you watch the kid while I take him home and I'll be back? Like, if you weren't ready to come back home, especially because you don't work. So whatever, cool. You want to spend some more time with your family. Again, it's not like it's this huge jaunt.
It's right.
It's a half hour.
It's like an inconvenience more than anything. And so, and he, Matt, his friend, was trying to find other people to come get him too, because he couldn't. And so I'm like, that's a nice friend too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a good guy, but I feel bad for him too, because he's the last person who actually talked to Chance.
Yeah.
And so people are just mean too. And, you know, people are so quick to say things to him. Even now, I've seen stuff on social media when he's, you know, out doing whatever with his family, and people are like, how are you out there having fun when your friend is missing? And it's like, come on.
I mean,
people are terrible. The internet is awful.
Like, you've got to move on with your life too. And that doesn't mean you forget and you stop doing things, but you have kids and stuff that need to be raised, and they don't, like, you have to be there for your own family too.
And he has organized tons of different searches. Cause I mean, I still see things pop up where they're still doing things, you know, like years later. But, you know, sometimes you do, I think about the positive cases of, I mean, it's not necessarily positive, but like when we did the case in Ohio with the girls that were abducted, you know, for 10 years, 10 plus years, and they were still alive, you know? And so it's like, you don't hear those that often, but of course you want to think that that still could be an option. So I think, like, good for them for still trying and looking and not just giving up, because you don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one. And I mean, that's a good case. And that's one that I feel like, I mean, I remember hearing about it when it happened, but I don't remember hearing much after that. And like I said, I do remember reading stuff and being like, that's kind of shady about the wife.
Same.
So, I mean, who knows?
It's easy to speculate from the outside.
It is.
But it's so hard. I mean,
I hope his family gets some sort of closure at some point.
I agree. It's just crazy it's been this long. I remember when he was first missing, like you said, and like it was on the news a few times, and I thought, well, that's weird, you know? And then it's like, you just assume, okay, well, they'll find him. Like, he'll come back. And then 3 years goes by. And that's what kind of brought it back to the forefront when I was like back there and I saw a billboard and I was like, gosh, that's eerie. You know, I don't know. It's just crazy that it's literally like vanished with no trace.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows anymore, I mean, obviously come forward. I forgot to mention like all my sources and stuff, but like there's a lot of really good sources that I used. Let me see here. I can always, you know, add those in too. Not that anyone necessarily cares, but like the Uncovered website was very good. Gives you direct timeline of events. Gives you links to different news articles from the timeline. An overall thing of that. I use like News Nation, CNN, all of those main things. So there has been a couple other podcast episodes, I believe, on it. I did not listen to them, but I'm sure it's fairly similar because there is no final outcome to this case and it's just unsolved, that it's always in hopes that it'll draw attention to it and someone will know something.
Yeah. Well, and so like, again, we'll link all the information for support or phone calls and stuff in our show notes. So if you have any information or you just want to help support the family in keeping that billboard up or, you know, helping them try to find their son, we'll have that all linked in our show notes. So thank you, Shannon, for telling us about that. And that's
difficult. One that needed to be heard. And I knew I wanted to do it at some point anyway. But I was going back and forth between a couple cases and I thought, why am I not just doing this now? It's like the sooner the better, I feel like, in situations like this, in hopes that maybe
I have an ongoing list of just Nebraska cases to cover. And it's like, I know we talked about doing just a Nebraska podcast at one point, but then I'm like, okay, but then you tie yourself into a point where eventually it's like, are we just going to run out of stuff? Right. But, you know, so you guys, you send us those things and we love it and we appreciate it. But again, if you have other states that you know of, let us know. heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Your personal experiences, you know, with albeit some, were you almost abducted? Did you have a stalker? Did something crazy happen in your hometown like this? Mm-hmm. Paranormal, aliens, cryptids, all the things. And again, your personal stories, they don't have to have taken place in the Heartland. It can be anywhere, but we would love to get that and hear that from you guys. You know, you can email us, you can DM us on any of our social medias. We've got Twitter, we've got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. So, you know, reach out. We would love to hear from you guys. We love to chat with you all. We love to hear what you've got to say. And, you know, we like to hear from you guys, and we'd like to eventually do a podcast episode where we just read some of your guys' stories about what you've had happen. You know, this isn't just our podcast. This is your podcast too. So
send us those stories. Input. 'Cause once we have enough, I think we could make it, you know, three or four, depending on how many there are. 'Cause
and how that's kind of my thoughts
on it. And so send them in. And then once we kind of have an idea, we'll obviously let you know when we're going to do an episode on that.
Yeah. And if you don't want people to know who you are, like, you can tell us hey, please don't mention my name. Put me as anonymous. Like, we're not going to give out any information you don't want us to give out. Right. So yeah, let us know. Yet again, also linked in our show notes, you know, this is, I think, a good reminder of having something like the She's Birdie to help deter. If you get the She Birdies Plus, it's going to have your GPS. It's going to be able to get a phone call with their live reps 24/7, getting first responders to you if need be. I actually had a dream that I used mine the other night.
Ooh, it was, I don't like that.
I mean, I like it, but
I don't want you to have to use it. If that's fair.
I was walking up to like a McDonald's to go eat late at night, which is weird because I don't really eat at McDonald's.
Maybe those and, fries, though. Their fries are on point.
I do like their fries. I love their fries.
That's about it.
I was walking up and people were banging on the door for me to, or like on the window, because like they had locked themselves in because there were these two creepy men outside. And then I ran and they had a knife and I pulled on my She Birdie and it was blaring. Listen, I pushed the button to get the reps to call and everything.
Good for you, Cassie. You're practicing in your dreams, even.
Even in my dreams, I'm practicing. The She Birdie's keeping me safe in my dreams, even. So.
Yeah. You know, honestly, though, like, I am getting one. Like, everyone's going to be getting them as gifts because I think they're amazing. Yeah. My daughter wants one for her bike. You know, like, she's like, I want two. Idea. I want one for my bike. I want one for my backpack. I'm like,
okay, well, you can easily move them from one to the other.
It just made me laugh because I was like, you know, you can move it, but you don't want to have to actually do that. Is that what you're telling me? So, I mean, I think it's definitely good. It's good for guys, even. I know if it seems like it's not. It's just, I mean, it's a safety thing. So
it is. Unfortunately, you know, that's the things that we have to think about, especially as women, but even the men, clearly men can go missing too.
That's the world we're living in.
That's Dark Hearts 15. You get 15% off there. That'll all be linked in the show notes as well. But until next time, stay Heartland kind,
but Darkland wary.